It is uneasy doing the prayer of illumination when you're the one that's going to speak, because you feel guilty asking for God's leadership in front of everybody else, because everybody else is thinking, well, dadgum, you're up there. You should know what you're doing. I've been looking forward to this morning. Harriet asked me several months ago if I would be willing to fill in and for him this morning. And I enjoy leading worship. I enjoy singing. Hopefully you know that. But I also enjoy sharing. So I'm going to share from my heart something that's been on my mind quite a bit lately, and something I think that we all need to pay attention to as we see what's going on in our world. Now, the title is kind of odd, TV Dinners. And I really thought when I told Harry the title, I would get an email going, what? And he didn't. So that may mean he's going to listen to it later and find out what the heck I was thinking about. But the service, if you haven't noticed, the service today, the outline, is focused on where we can find strength, comfort, support, supplication, solitude, peace, and rejuvenation from this world that we live in today. For right now, I want to focus on comfort and add to it convenience. This past Friday night, I went with some friends to see a movie. And the movie was called Current Wars. Have any of you all heard of that movie? Current Wars. If you haven't heard of it, it's the story of Thomas Edison versus George Westinghouse versus Nikolai Tesla. And it's primarily about the Edison and Westinghouse battle of lighting the cities of America. Edison was built on DC, and Westinghouse was built on AC power. DC power is what's called direct current. If we don't have engineers, it's okay. Direct current, which electrons only travel in one direction. AC power is called alternating current, and the electrons travel in both directions. Hence, if you grab an AC wire, you'll get bit. Has anybody done that before? Yeah, you stuck a bobby pin in an outlet when you were real young? Yeah, okay. You'll get bit. DC power is a little more forgiving. Edison's approach was DC. He actually patented the 13-hour light bulb. Now, that was amazing. I mean, we buy 10-year bulbs now, right? They couldn't get light bulbs. The filament would burn out so quick. He patented a way that he created a bulb that would last 13 hours. That was unheard of. He also patented the little screw base, how it screwed into the socket. And he patented the generator, or what they call the DC dynamo back then. The problem is that DC power can only go a couple of hundred yards, and then you need another generator. So the loss is great. And the way he was getting over this was he was burying massive copper bundles of wires underground in the cities, and the intent was to replace all the gas lights and improve the lighting of the cities and reduce the risk of explosions or fires or anything else. Now, Westinghouse looked at this and said, George Westinghouse looked at it and said, you know, there's a problem here. It's very inefficient to run DC power for lighting. He wanted to do alternating current. So he did AC power. He ran the wires overhead. We kind of still see that today. Ran the wires overhead, used an AC dynamo. He produced his own bulbs, which were actually a patent from another guy who kind of copied Edison, but we won't say that. He says it was a different approach. And it cost 70% less than Edison's approach. 70%. And the whole movie was really about them buying for cities, because towns were coming to them and buying their solution for their towns. They had this massive map of the United States with little light bulbs in all the major cities. And if Edison wanted it, it would be one color. And if Westinghouse wanted it, it would be another color. But the whole point, and if you haven't seen the movie, I learned a ton of stuff in it, but it's fascinating. But it really was about getting rid of the gas lanterns and the oil lamps and bring lighting and safety to the cities. By the way, I also learned that's where the electric chair came from. Thomas Edison, unbeknownst to the people at the time, told him how to build an electric chair because he told him AC current wasn't safe. Because people could get electrocuted, but nobody was. He actually... He actually took a full 1,000-pound horse into a stall and did a big PR event and electrocuted the horse to prove how unsafe AC power was. Yeah, well, you don't want to see that part of the movie. But his point was, Westinghouse was winning, and he was trying to figure out how to offset Westinghouse win. So anyway, the electric chair came from that. And I also learned where General Electric got its start, out of the companies that were back then, Edison's company and another company. Edison went on to invent a number of things, such as the gramophone, the kinetoscope. Anybody know what the kinetoscope was? It was the first motion picture camera, the kinetoscope. In 1893, the first motion picture was shown using the kinetoscope that captured the footage. Now, fast forward to 1920, and an Idaho farm boy by the name of Philo Taylor Farnsworth. Does that ring a bell to anybody? Philo Taylor Farnsworth, who came up with the idea of making television work without any mechanical devices. According to the surviving family members, Farnsworth dreamed up his own idea for an electronic rather than mechanical television while driving a horse-drawn harrow at his family's new farm in Idaho. As he plowed a potato field, anybody plowed before? Yeah, okay. As he plowed a potato field, he looked ahead and he saw the parallel lines. And in the parallel lines, that gave him the vision of a television. He envisioned a system that would break an image into horizontal lines and reassemble those lines into a picture at the other end. Only electrons could capture, transmit, and reproduce a clear, moving figure. This eureka experience happened at the age of 14. 14 years old. He envisioned a way to create the television. Television grew, and it wasn't long before families would gather around the TV at night to watch magic happen in their own homes. For some people, it still is magic how things that are unseen traveling through the air could be captured by a device and produce such high-fidelity images and sound. Anybody else still amazed that that happens? I mean, you can't see it, and it just shows up on your television set. Shortly after television arrived came TV dinners. TV dinners. In 1954, a company named Swanson & Sons brought to market a brand of packaged meals in an aluminum tray that were heated in the oven. The packaged meal was called TV Frozen Dinners and later was shortened to TV Dinners. About 53% of the United States population owned a TV at that time. And the tie-in between a prepared meal and the television caught on. Finally, comfort and convenience had come to home food preparation. So often we let convenience take the place of comfort. In other words, we settle. We settle for convenience when we need true comfort. Gone are the days of Leave It to Beaver, when the whole family comes home from school and work, washes up, and sits down to dinner together and talk about how their day went or what was going on in their lives. So much of that family value time has been replaced with working late or after-school sports and activities, horrible traffic on the way home, making everyone late, or just too anxious to watch a prime-time TV show. The conveniences of today have quickly supplanted the quality of family time of the past. If you have any teenagers around, you know how impossible it is just to get them away from their cell phones. Anybody realize that? Grandchildren? At our house, when our grandchildren come to visit, one of the very first things they ask us for is, "Do you have a charger for my phone? My battery's almost dead." They fear being disconnected from the world for any brief moment in time. Now, as grandparents, we find them a cable and we get them charged. Our daughter instituted a number of rules in her house. Number one is the kids were never allowed to take their phones to their bedrooms. Probably a good rule, actually. The other was they're not allowed to use them at dinner time at the table. Or if we go out to eat in a restaurant, she makes them put them away. So that we have family time together. Now, it's not just the kids. I myself am guilty of being too connected. Just ask my wife. She'll be happy to let you know. I'm not suggesting that we have to disconnect from all the comforts that today brings us, but we have to realize how these conveniences are impacting our priorities. And I dare say, pulling us away from our quiet time with our Heavenly Father. We need downtime, both mentally and physically. We are constantly on the run from one place to another, and so many times we miss opportunities to connect with others and share an experience. I remember traveling to Kentucky in my son-in-law's pickup truck and pulling one of my empty enclosed trailers. It was just myself. My siblings and I were meeting at my parents' house to help them downsize as they prepared to move into independent living facilities. I drove 418 miles, about 6.5 hours, in total silence. I never even turned on the radio. I was just alone with my thoughts. When I was talking with Judy the next morning, she thought it was inconceivable that I drove for 6.5 hours without any sound from anything. Now, I can't tell you everything I thought about. I know she asked, and I gave her a list, but I know I didn't cover everything. But it was just quite, and I'm not trying to say that was 6.5 hours with God. Don't misunderstand. I'm just saying I needed that time to just think about things. Just to think about what was going on. Things I had to do, dealing with my parents, helping them downsize, my brother and sister, who wanted this and who wanted that, and how we were going to work all that out. And yes, time with God, that was there too. But I needed that time of decompressing. If we don't take the time to decompress, then anxiety builds up. And before we know it, we're unhappy, angry, upset, frustrated, and we don't know why. It's during those times that we need to seek out God, to go to our hiding place, and to listen to His calming voice, realizing His deliverance from whatever is attacking us or drawing us down. So much of our society today is missing this calm assurance and this hiding place. According to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, there are about 129 suicides every day. Men are 3.5 times the rate for women in suicide. And the highest rate of suicide is among middle-aged white males. Sadly, the male ego many times gets in the way. And as the provider and protector of our families, we feel we must always be in control of everything. Once we see ourselves losing control, we often lose all focus and rationalization and can't see how to get back on top and to be in control again. Is it no wonder that the suicide rate is greatest among middle-aged men? Now, for many of us here this morning, we know where to go when things aren't going well, when all seems lost, when our relationships fail, when society is closing in all around us, when we are facing uncertainty, when we are facing health risks, when we are dealing with the loss of someone. However, for many of the population of this country, they don't know where to turn. Our country seems to be turning more and more away from God. While Christianity is the most adhered to religion in the United States, 65% of polled American adults identify themselves as Christians in 2019. This is down from 85% in 1990, 81.6% in 2001, and 12% lower than the 78% reported for 2012. Our country is in trouble. When we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we accepted the role of being God's voice to others. We all will be held accountable for our actions and our inactions. We are the shining light for others to follow. If you are here this morning and you haven't made that decision, there is no time like the present. You are in a room of those committed to following Christ. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. But it is a constant journey we are all on. For you see, there is another power in this world who is committed to make us turn away from God. He is recruiting for His world as well. And while we don't like to talk about it, He is very present and takes advantage of every opportunity to pull us away from God. This is why we need those constant songs of deliverance, to remind us of the hiding place God provides. That place of perfect peace, of enlightenment, of strength, of supplication, of solitude, of forgiveness, of eternal life, and of comfort and convenience. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Let's pray. Our Father, our hearts ache for this country. Our hearts ache for this world. For so many do not know of that hiding place. May we take every opportunity that we have to share that amazing grace that came from Calvary. Father, we ask for those opportunities to stand and be that shining light. For we ask these things in Your name. Amen.